Richard the Lionheart was one of the greatest kings of England, one of the most stirring pages in English history. Tells of the conquests of Richard. While Richard was away trouncing his enemies in battle, his kingdom fell on bad times. His sly and graceless brother John usurped all the prerogatives of the king and misruled the realm. The people of England suffered, longing for the return of the king, and praying that it might be soon. Then one day Richard came. He landed in England and marched straight for his throne. Around him, around that glittering coming, many tales are told, woven into the legends of England. One of them is the story of Robin Hood. John's castles tumbled like ninepins. Richard the Lionheart laid claim to his throne, and none dared stand in his path. The people of England shouted their delight. They rang peal after peal on the bells. The lion was back. Long live King Richard. I want to tell you folks that one day a king greater than Richard will lay claim to a realm greater than England. And those who have abused the earth in his absence and seized his domains and mismanaged his world will be all swept aside. Every eye shall see him, including those who pierced him. And that's what the book of Revelation chapter 1 tells us in the text that we read a few moments ago. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Did you notice, friends, in that text, the royal chariot of King Jesus? Our wonderful coming king has his royal carriage. It's the clouds of heaven. Behold, he cometh with clouds. You know, as you think back to the Old Testament and you think about the nation of Israel, and we think of how Israel was brought out of Egypt, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and brought out into the wilderness. And we read in the pages of Old Testament scripture how that the Lord led his people in the form of a cloud, the cloudy pillar through the wilderness. The Lord wrapped himself in the cloud. The cloud was his chariot. The cloud was his carriage. Then we think of how he gave instructions to his ancient people to build the tabernacle where he would be worshipped. And we have the Holy of Holies. And the holiest item in that Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat, which was the lid of the Ark. And of course, the blood of the innocent lamb was sprinkled upon the lid. But there at the tabernacle was the cloudy pillar, the presence of Jehovah dwelling in the midst of his people. We think of how God incarnate came and was born in Bethlehem and grew up and kept all the commandments perfectly, was obedient to his parents. And we think of those years of obscurity in Nazareth. And then we think of his wonderful public life and how at the Mount of Transfiguration, which many believe to be Mount Tabor in Israel. It's a very interesting mountain if you've ever been there. It's shaped like a bowl that's turned upside down. But many scholars believe that that's where the transfiguration of Christ took place. But the point is that at the Mount of Transfiguration, the Lord Jesus again wrapped himself in a cloud, just as he did in the wilderness, just as he did over the mercy seat. He did it again at the Mount of Transfiguration. But then we think of how we're told in Acts chapter 1 of the ascension of the King, and how the Lord Jesus was received up into a cloud, and he was taken up out of the sight of the apostles. And the angels were there, and they said to the apostles, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." And there again was the cloud, the Lord of glory wrapping himself in a cloud. The clouds there on the Mount of Olives were his royal chariot, his royal carriage. But friends, one day he's coming back again. The great Lion of the tribe of Judah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, will return, and he will have his royal chariot, his royal carriage as he comes. Behold, he cometh with clouds. Look around you tonight. There's a few clouds in the sky, is there not? Yeah, we've got the clouds this evening. Who knows, but he may return before this drive-in service is over. Wonder, friend, are you ready? Are you ready for the King who's going to split the clouds? Some are, someday. Maybe even before the service is over. So that really means that you need to do business with him right now, in your car or in your house. You need to cry out to him right now, this moment. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, I want to be ready for the coming King. Behold, he cometh with clouds. And then it says, every eye shall see him. Every eye shall see him. The human eye is a wonderful creation. It's infinitely better than any camera that has ever been manufactured. And mind you, today there are some amazing cameras, and most of them are on your mobile phone. The phone is nearly the best camera of all nowadays. But the human eye is a wonderful creation of God. The problem is that sinful man does not use his eyes to glorify God, but rather he uses his eyes to bring dishonor upon God and to rebel against God. Sinful man uses his eyes to look at the filth of pornography. Sinful man does not use his eyes to read the holy word of God. He sins against God by sins of commission and omission with his eyes. But whenever the King of Kings returns, the sinful eye of man will see him. Friend, if you're not ready to meet the King, if you're not ready for the greatest lion heart of all, I urge you to get ready right now. Don't wait until the end of the meeting. Don't wait to come up and to speak to us, because it might be too late. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and perhaps even the clouds that are above us this evening. You need to be ready. You need to prepare. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So every eye will see the King. Let me say, secondly, tonight, Every name will be eclipsed by the King. Every name will be eclipsed by the King. We've read in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." There are a lot of names bandied about today. The Prime Minister, the President of America, a lot of different names, different scientists, different experts. But you know, folks, all those names are going to be eclipsed by the name of the King someday, because God hath highly exalted his name and given him a name which is above every name. Holy and reverend is his name. I see certain ministers being called reverend. I even used to give that title to myself. But then I read that verse in Psalm 111. Holy and reverend is his name. So folks, you can call me any name under the sun, but don't call me reverend, because I'm not worthy of the title. In fact, there's only one who's worthy of that title, and it's the coming King. It's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Aye, every name will be eclipsed by his name someday. The name of this preacher will be eclipsed by his name. And your name and every other name will be eclipsed by his sweet and blessed name. Is there any name more sweet than the name of Jesus? Oh, I know that there's a lot of people today and they just use his name as a swear word. And boy, you turn on the TV and all these sitcoms, and they're supposed to be funny. And they take the name of our lovely Lord Jesus and trample it in the gutter. I tell you, folks, on the authority of God's word, there'll be an end to that. God the Father will put an end to it. And the name of his beloved, blessed Son will be exalted above every other name and will eclipse every other name. And no wicked tongue will break the third commandment and take the holy name of Jesus Christ in vain. Aye, every eye will see the King as he comes, and every name will be eclipsed by the King when he comes. Let me say also that every knee will bow to the King when he comes. Yes, every knee will bow to the King. There was a lot of bowing of knees this past week. We've all heard of the protests in America and in London and in Belfast and even in our own maiden city. And friends, as far as I could see this past week, there were a lot of violent thugs that were involved in the protests. Now, I know that there were ordinary, decent, upstanding people who were there for a peaceful protest. But as far as I could see, there were a lot of thugs who were up to no good. Violent thugs defacing war memorials, defacing cenotaphs, even desecrating the statue of the greatest war leader our nation has ever known, Sir Winston Churchill. But folks, the reason I mention the protest tonight is because a lot of people took the knee. A lot of people were bowing the knee. I want to tell you, The saddest sight of all that I saw this past week was the Metropolitan Police in London bowing the knee to those violent thugs. How sad. I want to tell you, good folks, tonight, you see every one of those violent thugs, they're going to bow the knee to King Jesus. Every one of those police officers will bow the knee to King Jesus. Even the devil is going to bow his knee. Yes, you heard me right. Even Satan will bow the knee. The hymn writer says, Jesus is stronger than Satan and sin, and Satan to Jesus must bow. Every knee will bow to the King. Your knee will bow to the King. I know that some of you have already bowed your knee to Him. You've cried out to Him for mercy. Might have been last week, last month. Maybe it's been a wee while longer, 10, 20, 50 years. Some of you have been on the narrow way a good while. But you've bowed the knee to the King. You've bowed the knee willingly to Him. But maybe some of you haven't. I urge you tonight to bow your knee to the King willingly, voluntarily. Because you see, if you refuse to do it willingly and voluntarily on this earth, the day will come whenever the Lord will force you to bow the knee. You, my friend, will be made to bow the knee. Because at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every eye will see the King. Every name will be eclipsed by the King. Every knee will bow to the King. You've listened really well, folks. Let me finish with this thought. Every tongue will praise the King. Aye, the day is coming when every tongue will praise Him. You see, Paul the Apostle, who once was a rebel against the King, he says in verse 11, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Your tongue, my tongue, will confess that He is Lord someday. And we will have no choice in the matter, folks. I want you to get that. You and I have no choice in whether Jesus Christ is Lord or not. God does not leave it to our choice. The fact of the matter is, He is Lord. And we don't have the choice as to whether we make Him Lord. No, He already is Lord and He always will be Lord. It doesn't matter how many rebels down here upon earth shake their puny fists in His face. Fact of the matter is, He is Lord. And you know, facts are very stubborn things. But let me tell you tonight one thing that God Almighty allows you to choose. He allows you to choose whether you make Jesus Christ your Savior. He will not allow you to choose whether Jesus Christ is Lord, because He is Lord. But God the Father is giving you the choice tonight as to whether you will make Jesus Christ your Savior. One day your tongue will pronounce Him to be the Lord. But my friend, wouldn't it be wonderful if your tongue was also able to say on that great day, He is my Savior too. How awful on that day to meet the returning King, and to find that He is not your Savior, He is only your Lord. And He will say to you, "Depart from me, I never knew you," into that place prepared for the devil and his angels. It's called hell. And you know, if you go to the vast majority of churches today, you won't hear that word mentioned. I think of a story of a young assistant minister in a church, and the minister was away, and the young assistant preached about hell. But the minister's wife came to him after the service, and at the door she said to the young assistant minister, "How dare you preach about hell? Don't you ever do that again." It is sad that there are churches like that. But folks, hell is reality. Hell is as real as new buildings. And the Lord Jesus Christ spoke more about hell than He did about heaven. And He is to be our example. And how sad that you should be someday in that place prepared for the devil and his angels. I want to tell you tonight that God never prepared hell for you. And it's not His will that you should be there at the end of life's journey. It's not His will that you should be there when the trumpet sounds and when the King comes again. Can I plead with you tonight, as an ambassador of Christ, be ye reconciled to God. All heaven declares the glory of the risen Lord. Who can compare with the beauty of the Lord? Forever He will be the Lamb upon the throne. I gladly bow the knee and worship Him alone. I will proclaim the glory of the risen Lord, who once was slain to reconcile man to God. Forever you will be the Lamb upon the throne. I gladly bow the knee and worship you alone. We're going to bring our service to a finish tonight with that hymn. And I trust that you can honestly say, "I gladly bow the knee."